You know, the Bhagavatam, it is spoken, of course, by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit, and then later on the sages at Namaisharanya are hearing the same Bhagavatam from Shonaka Rishi, from Suta Goswami. And then later on we'll hear how, well, I think it was earlier on mentioned, when the four Kumaras travel down the celestial Ganges River and they hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Anantashesh at the bottom of the universe. So there's sometimes different volumes, different number of verses, etc., all trying to explain the nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So it goes, of course, accordingly as we begin with creation, sub-creation, but the conclusion that always remains is that the original, the maintainer, the protector, the provider of everything is always that Supreme Personality, Krishna, in his original form, his two-handed form, of course. That is the summum bonum. That is whom from which everything has emanated, be it material and spiritual. Everything is coming from him directly or indirectly. So by understanding this so-called contradiction, how the Lord can be the tiniest, he can exist in matter, in the smallest atom, how he exists supremely as the Brahma Jyoti, as a person. So going from the Brahman realization to Paramatma, to understanding Bhagavan, the owner of all the six opulences, and the expansions of those opulences. So gradually understanding this knowledge is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is in all its forms, whether it's in its four-seed form or 4 billion verses, 20,000 verses, however it is presented. The goal is to understand who was there at the beginning, who is there in the end, who is the maintainer of everything that is material and spiritual. So we hear everything from creation right up through to the summum bonum. And by the point we get to understand who or what the summum bonum is, we already have that appreciation and that understanding of Krishna, the personality. Not only the energy, but the personality, because we're hearing so many pastimes about Krishna as well. We're hearing about his separated material energies. We're hearing about how he creates the 16 items of matter, how they interact, what the resultant interactions of those elements are. So we appreciate what the Supreme Lord has done, and we worship him accordingly. And a healthy appetite to have when reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or when understanding the particular energies of Lord in reference to Srimad Bhagavatam, is that we try to understand the origin of all these energies, the internal energy, the external, and the marginal energy. And then the conclusions are given for us in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, that of course Krishna gives light, he dissipates darkness in terms of knowledge. So having this transcendental knowledge brings about light, it brings illumination, it brings enlightenment, so that we are able to understand the proper conclusion as to what life is. So Lord Brahma, when he begins his subsequent creation, because he's the sub-creator, having to deal with the different types of energies, the Maha Vishnu incarnation, of course, is explained by Lord Brahma in his Brahma Samhita. Yat karanana vajale bhajati smayoga nidram ananta jagarananda sharamakupa adara shaktim avalambhya param samurtin govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. This is text 47. The first purusha incarnation of Govinda, Lord Krishna, known as Maha Vishnu, goes into a yoga nidra, mystic sleep, and the innumerable universes are situated in potency in each and every hair hole of his transcendental body. So this creation is made possible, of course, by the Supreme Personality of God, of Godhead, and he manifests all these different energies that he has. So it is important for us to have the proper context as to who the maintainer and the creator of all of which we're seeing is. It is important to know that, and that will bring about real satisfaction. When we directly go to the crux, or when we directly go to the origin of all that be, we can actually get full satisfaction. When we directly try to understand the origin of all that be, we can get full satisfaction, because that origin is nothing but pure spiritual form. It is the Krishna himself, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha. He is the original form, Krishna. So we don't get it twisted. We understand the position of Vishnu. We understand the position of different groups of avatars, different amsas, different limbs of the Lord. But we must understand who the original personality is. And in that way, we can understand and absorb properly what Bhagavatam is trying to teach us. So in the beginning here, we see the situation between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni, of course, in which Lord Brahma was with great satisfaction explaining to his son Narada about the science of Krishna, the science of the Supreme Absolute Truth. It's very interesting that people think religion or spirituality is just a belief. I was watching some interview Richard Dawkins was having with one religious critic, and he was saying that religion is not a science. It's just a belief system. And immediately I thought of when Srila Prabhupada was writing or was translating the Nectar of Instruction, explaining how this is, you know, the process of bhakti yoga, the process of devotional service is a science. There are certain things that you do. You go into the bhakti tradition. There's a process that you follow, and by following that process, you get certain results in terms of our purification, in terms of the types of realizations we'll have, in terms of our detachment from this world and attachment to that which is spirit. So immediately when he said that, I just thought, actually, this is wrong. The process of bhakti itself, and authorized and legitimate religious systems, they have a science to it. So long as the practitioners themselves understand the science, there's a science of how to love God, of how to serve God. Most times persons think it is about just believing or feeling a certain way, having sensations. But here we leave our feelings and our sensations aside. At least in the early stages of bhakti, we adhere to rules and regulations. The process of sadhana bhakti is adhering to rules and regulations that are meant to take us to a spontaneous level of naturally rendering service to Krishna. And that gives satisfaction. Actually, rules and regulations give full satisfaction. But in this world that we're living in, we are taught that rules and regulations actually constrict your growth. Rules and regulations make it difficult. Rules and regulations are painful. This is what we're taught. And we have so many logos and so many sayings about, you know, break the barrier, break free, no rules, have no fear, do whatever you want. So there's a whole momentum about just going against any rule, be it good, beneficial, or highly influential for you as a person. But we are designed to just break rules because we think that rules are meant to stunt us. But actually, when you adhere to a code of conduct, or when we adhere to rules and regulations, there's a sense of security, a sense of safety, and assurance of growth. So when we adhere to, let's say, the speed limit, when we adhere to road signs, there's safety in that. You know it's a stop sign. No one is going to come driving like a madman and crush into you. There is safety in that. You're assured that if you stay on the M1 or if you stay on the Nepean Highway, you're going to get to your destination. There is assurance that on this road, you will get somewhere. Stick to this road. Similarly, on the path of bhakti, we are assured you practice the four regulative principles that makes you a human being. And we can see that we act a certain way, we have certain habits of cleanliness, certain habits of etiquette, certain habits of human exchange. We chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's a cleansing process that happens. All the abhadranis, all these unwanted things in the heart, they get removed by chanting the names of Krishna. So there's assurance because that when you take up bhakti, the first two stages, kleshagni, all the material distress lessens. Because now we're tasting Krishna. We don't have so much baggage or the heaviness of our previous karma is not weighing us down so much. Krishna is lifting the burden. This is what happens in the first stages of sadhana bhakti, this kleshagni and this sudden happiness hits us. We suddenly get out of the darkness and we can understand things as they are, at least based on philosophy. So these guidelines, these rules and regulations of sadhana actually bring us not only happiness and stability, regulation, but they bring assurance. We know that we are actually going somewhere. It doesn't only end with sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is just the beginning to take us to our perfected state where we want to be reinstated in our constitutional position as servant of Krishna. So this is the whole point why we follow these regulations of hearing about Krishna, hearing about the Srimad Bhagavatam, all 10 subject matters. Because in any section, whether it's the Uddhava Gita or whether it's the Gopi Gita section, whether it's Sutta Goswami with the sages, whether it's Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit, it is a gradual revelation of the Absolute Truth. So we're not jumping like modern day Bhagavata Saptahas where they just go to the Rasa Leela, they go to this and that. It is a gradual revelation of the Absolute Truth. Everything unfolds as we hear about the different energies of Krishna and how we relate to that. So it is a gradual process that will give us the perfection that we're looking for. So even with the situation of Narada and Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, who is so advanced, who can go anywhere, he can visit Krishna in Dwarka, he can go to Vaikuntha, he is there with Gopa Kumar, explaining to him where the topmost planet is. Even Narada Muni is placing himself as a disciple to teach us, yes, you inquire from the Guru. Yes, you follow the instructions of the Guru and he will give you that enlightenment. He will give us that Divya Gyan. Whatever we get, even for the yogis who are practicing, we heard in previous chapters, even for the yogis who are getting their mystic siddhis, which are all material, controlling the different elements, gross or subtle, these are all material things that ultimately they come as a benediction from Krishna through Lord Shiva. Most of them worship Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gets his potency as well from Krishna. So even on that platform, we understand that our effort, our sacrifice is seen by the Lord from within or from without in the form of the spiritual master. And when we are purified enough, and when we are ready, based on our character, based on our service attitude, the Lord reveals himself. The Lord reveals himself to the degree that we also serve him. Tesha satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. According to our bhakti, the Lord reveals himself. Lord Brahma was performing penance in bhakti yoga. Prabhupada makes that very, very clear. Same as to Narada Muni, Srila Vyasadeva, his dissatisfaction, his guru came to him and said, you haven't directly addressed Krishna. You have indirectly addressed him in the pages of your works, the different Puranas, the Itihasas, etc., now you directly touch upon on Krishna, then you'll get that full satisfaction. And previous purports explain that it is only the process of bhakti that can actually satisfy the heart for good, purify the heart for good, only the process of bhakti. With the other processes, there's always either subtle residues of personal sense gratification. There's always some residue which is a contaminant. It obscures our ability to actually engage in pure unalloyed bhakti. So here Narada Muni is showing us a very qualified disciple, a very qualified Devarishi Narada, saint amongst the demigods. He is qualified himself, but he's showing the attitude of one who wants to know about the absolute truth in relationship with his guru, his spiritual master. So Prabhupada also mentions different examples, how, you know, even Lord Chaitanya, he instructed Rupa Goswami, he instructed Sanatana Goswami for days, and he gave them guidelines. You write like this, you elaborate like this, different Goswamis like that. And they expanded on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. They gave us many types of literature so that we can understand clearly what the process of devotional service is. So Srila Prabhupada, also being given the mercy and guidance by his spiritual master and predecessors, is also writing the purpose to the Srimad Bhagavatam, elaborate purpose, so we can also understand this process of devotional service. So, as Prabhupada mentions, this, the pages of the Bhagavatam, they are not some type of mundane literature or fiction. It has unlimited potency and unlimited strength. And to the degree that we actually embrace Srimad Bhagavatam with all seriousness and with all respect, we can get to understand and absorb the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they can bring us closer to understanding the personality of Krishna. And in that way, we will be fully satisfied. The famous example about watering the root of the tree, how all different parts of the tree will be nourished. How we put food into the body by the actions of the hand, that the body gets satisfaction, it gets nourishment, and we dissipate the hunger pangs. So when we feed our soul with Krishna Katha in the association of devotees, as it said in Bhagavad Gita, Mashket Madgat Prana Bodhyantas Parasparam, if we are in that assembly of personalities who are always engaged in enlivening one another by topics related to Krishna, then we get that full satisfaction. Because only spiritual subject matters can satisfy the soul. That is why right from the beginning Bhagavatam explains that this service of hearing Bhagavatam is nitya, it is eternal. We should be hearing it every single day. This is how we can serve the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by serving it like that, and by practical service to the spiritual masters, we can get the ultimate benediction by being able to realize what is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like Narada, Lord Brahma have, and in the future, or in the past, so many will absorb this knowledge of the Srimad Bhagavatam by adhering to the principles and to the guidelines given by the spiritual master, coming in parampara, of course, from Lord Brahma. So I'll stop then. I'll ask if there's any comments or question. Yes, Prabhu.
As we are conditions of such a lifetime, mind keeps us constantly, you know, and it checks our progress. So how do we try to purify our mind? You know, because heart says so many different struggles that is better minds, it's just the battle between time. So how do we try to you know,
The most practical thing that Srila Prabhupada... Okay, so the question for those who are listening is, because we've been so conditioned since time immemorial, the mind gives us trouble, although we try to control it, our emotions or our sentiments can pull us to want to act a certain way. How do we strengthen our intelligence? Is that part of it? Well, the most practical thing Srila Prabhupada told us to do to control the mind is to chant attentively. So chanting attentively is not only about our physical stature, just sitting down and being in a room with other people chanting. It means we check our consciousness, we make an effort, we understand, okay, there's 10 offenses, we know what those 10 offenses are. We know the mind can wander, but every single day we make a focused effort to try to chant attentively, without reading, without navigation. You know, sometimes we navigate in chant. We just look at everything all over the place, look at the sky, look at the wall, and look at the cracks on the wall, or edit a sign. We're reading and chanting at the same time. So these are all things that we have to be wary of, our inattentiveness, our laziness to chant. You know, sometimes all of a sudden you feel like doing your washing during japa. Out of nowhere you feel like sweeping your room during japa. Or as soon as you sit down, you have this idea to write this 5-page essay or do research. This is what the mind will do. It will distract you because it jumps all over the place. So Prabhupada says, you know, just sit down, chant with devotees. Because what happens when you chant in the association of devotees, you know, sometimes just random walk out and then open a door in the temple room or in Prabhupada's house and see devotees chant. So much focus, concentration. You can see devotees are making a concentrated effort to chant attentively. And that inspires you. Oh, look at these devotees. They're chanting 16 rounds. They're sitting down or they're walking and they sit. So they're focused. That inspires you. So the best way to control the mind is work on attentive japa. And to sharpen our intelligence, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has explained that we sharpen our intelligence by reading Shastra. That is how our intelligence becomes sharp, because then we can discriminate. We know as soon as we want to wander off to this, we understand based on Shastra, not based on what some person told you, but just even based on Shastra, that we are meant to do this and not do that. So we attentively chant japa in the association of devotees as best as we can, in the association of Srila Prabhupada, if we can play a tape and chant with Srila Prabhupada, depending on our situation. And at the same time, strengthen your intelligence by reading Shastra regularly, by hearing regularly. That will make you sharp. And the mind will become strong because the mind is like a muscle. You have to train it every single day diligently. Like people who go to the gym, they are serious. Every single day, same time, they're in front of that mirror. And you can see their muscles are going boof, 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 like Popeye. So if we train the mind attentively, adhering to, understanding what the 10 offenses are, understanding the value of chanting in the Sangha of devotees, we sit down and we chant. And in that way, over a span of time, we should be patient and tolerant and at the same time enthusiastic about chanting, because we won't necessarily attain perfection of japa in 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. So many devotees have been chanting for decades, right? It's one devotee, one of my mentors once said to me, your chanting will never be good enough because it's the expression of pure love. So we see with Krishna, the more you hear about Krishna, the more you want to chant. The more you chant, you want to hear about Krishna. The more you hear about Krishna, you want to chant. And it goes on and on eternally. So japa will be there in the beginning, it will be there in the middle, in the end, in the spiritual world, it's just Krishna. So we just have to learn here the art of patience and tolerating our mind, beating our mind at the same time, by keeping it focused on the holy name and Shastra. That will help us. Jai Jagannath Prabhu.
Listeners of us, is it okay to have
Yeah, so we had to wait for. Well, I don't have the sufficient qualification to explain that particular point. I do not want to speculate about whether it's okay to want to be. I mean, our eternal form is there already. We should just be working on trying to rekindle our original relationship. Whatever it is, Krishna will reveal it in the Guru. I don't know. I'm not sure whether. I can't really comment on that one, sorry. Maybe you can ask one senior devotee if it's okay to aspire for a certain form. I'm not sure. I don't want to say anything wrong or misleading. All I know is we just aspire. At this point, we should worry about just aspiring to serve Krishna. Yes, Mataji? So in the beginning stages, you know, if you look at the program Prabhupada structured for us, it was really about engaging us in the fire of devotional service, getting this purification happening. Then later on, when we're in a mature state of Krishna consciousness, naturally these things might develop. But for now, we work on really getting pure and serving Krishna. Because as soon as, you know, the thought of knowing that we can aspire for our form can lead to all sorts of things. And in the past it has. So it's safer to just work on the program Srila Prabhupada gave us. That's my idea. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada mentioned this in the Nectar of Devotion, that gradually as we mature in bhakti, we'll become attracted to taking shelter of, you know, certain personalities. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was always emphasizing devotional service in Madhuras, not Madhuras, devotional service under the guidance of the Rajvasis. So Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion explains a little bit about that. But that comes much, much later. In the beginning, our focus is hearing and chanting, being pure. And then later on, Prabhupada says, naturally, it will develop that we'll want to take shelter of one of the residents of Vrindavan and get trained by them. But that comes much later. Much, much later. Okay, so how do we avoid pitfalls? Atyahara priyasascha prajalponya magraha. That's a very packed question. Basically, we're living in this material world. We associate with materialistic persons due to, if you're a grihastha, of course, due to work. Even if you're not a grihastha, in an ordinary dealing, if you're preaching, we speak to so many persons who are attached to the opposite sex or who deal with men attached to the opposite sex or women, whatever it may be. Working for mundane, fruitful achievement. So Krishna never said that we don't work to be in this material world. We perform our duty. If we have to maintain the family, we work. Of course, we are always taking guidance. Bhakti should always be performed under the guidance of, there's so many shiksha gurus with our diksha guru, etc. So We're working to maintain our Krishna consciousness. That should be the focus. We're not working to maintain a status quo in material life. Because as soon as we do that, I was reading a nectar of instruction. Actually, if you read up this verse, go to the purport of the Atyahara Priyasascha, Prajalpanyana Magraha. Prabhupada mentions that over-endeavor means that actually we're acting in such a way that we're not having Krishna as the center, but we want to fulfill our sense gratification. Then we become over-endeavorous. Then we start over-endeavoring. That might not have been the actual intention we had, but if we're not careful in the workplace, we'll want to achieve, we'll want to do this, we'll over-endeavor. And as we over-endeavor, our bhakti practice or our bhakti, our concentration weakens. You know what I mean? Our hearing and chanting goes down, our association with devotees decreases. So if we're just too focused on our work and neglect our bhakti, then the scales are not balanced. So we have to balance the scales. Really, we should be working just to maintain our Krishna consciousness and support preaching. This is why we should be working. But if it becomes very much selfish, we put ourselves in the center, we forget about the mission, we forget our mission in Prabhupada's mission, then we may begin very easily to over-endeavor. So always keep yourself guided. Stay in the association of devotees. There's so many grihasthas who work. Ask them how they balance their lifestyle. Ask them how they don't get carried away by work so that their bhakti gets weak. So that's why we always have to be in association so that we get ideas and we get help. We should never be alone and make this big, especially big decisions alone, because then we might make the wrong decision. You know, when Arjuna was on the battlefield, he had to take shelter of Krishna because he couldn't understand what was going on. He had to fight. He wasn't fighting. You know, he had to fight. He had to be angry. You know what I mean? So we do have to work and do things, but in what consciousness are we doing it for? Arjuna was fighting for Krishna. So it wasn't really just being passionate for the sake of being passionate, but it was being a kshatriya in service to Krishna. So we're doing our job, whether it's IT or whatever, but understand what we're doing it for. Okay, it's 8:35. I should stop now. Thank you very much for your... I can speak to you after. Okay. Thank you very much. Kantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shapropad ki. Oh, Premanande. Hare Krishna.